Welcome to the Hockey News Action Show presented by BetMGM and McKennie Hockey. I'm Mike Stevens. Sitting across from me is the one and only Rachel Dory. Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We're fighting through the January blues, January sickness that we got going on. It seems like everyone in everyone's life is, is fighting it. You know, they're a little banged up. So what we're going to do is we are going to, tee up the last, Hockey Night in Canada, as we say, before the All-Star break, because the All-Star break's coming up. And why don't we get started with a couple very interesting games here, starting with a big Atlantic Division matchup here, Boston versus Florida.
Yeah, I actually love this matchup. Boston's coming off a loss in Tampa Bay. Like, kind of rare. Boston, I think they just hit double-digit losses, which is insane to think, given that we're at the All-Star break. Boston's obviously an extremely good team. Tampa Bay, I mean, how do you argue? They've been to 3 straight cup finals. Nobody's going to sit here and say that they're bad. Did you watch that game on Thursday night? Did you see any of Boston Tampa?
Unfortunately, I didn't. I was passed out cold.
Nice.
Fighting this, this sickness that I have, but I did see the highlights. Like, I always, every morning before I get started on work, I watch all of the highlights on the NHL's YouTube page for any of the games I didn't get to see, and holy moly, what a game it was.
Yeah, I mean, probably I would say usually you have these games where they get hyped up and oh my goodness, it's going to be the game of the night or the game of the week or whatever the case may be, and then they never live up to the hype. This lived up to the hype. Like, I watched all 60 minutes and it was riveting hockey. So maybe a potential playoff matchup in the later rounds, but I think that we potentially got something here. And Boston came out on the losing end, and they played well. It wasn't like it was kind of one team blowing the other team out of the rink. Like, I think Boston's playing well, and Florida is very much not Tampa. And so for me, I look at it, they've already played 3 times this year, Boston and Florida, and all of the goals have been scored, like 7 goals, 8 goals, and 10 goals in those 3 games. So, I mean, it's hard not to think that this game is going to have at least 6 goals in it. Is it not?
Yeah, it seems like that. It seems that way. I mean, Boston is obviously, they're smarting from that defeat. You know, this is a very proud team and a team that is having one of the most incredible seasons we've seen in improbable and incredible seasons in modern history. They're absolutely on fire. And the Florida Panthers, I mean, they're now in a position where they're fighting for their lives. You know, like, this is a team that mortgaged its entire future to be a contender now. And they're depending on the day, they're outside of the playoff picture. This is a team that is going to be going hot and heavy, and they're playing, they're obviously playing the top team in the conference. If you can get a win against them, or the top team in the league, really, if you get a win against them, a division rival who's the best team in the league under your belt before the All-Star break, before you also host the All-Star break, I mean, that can be some vibes that change in that locker room, and it doesn't seem like they're great ones right now. They need something that can give you a really good little boost of confidence. It's going to be an all out sort of slugfest, really.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point there. If you go in and you're Florida and you go in with a win over Boston into your All-Star break, like, the morale that gets, I think could be a catalyst for them. Although I can't even remember the last time, I don't know if it's ever happened, where, like, at the All-Star break, we have a prohibitive favorite for the President's Trophy. Like, it basically just seems like Boston has it locked and loaded. So it's not even any value. And I was actually looking at that to see if it was something that, like, maybe going to an All-Star break could be, like, a value bet. It is not valuable at all to bet on the President's Trophy because, like, they're just the going-away favorites. They were, like, minus 500. Like, it's crazy to think
There's
about.
No point.
You look at it, and okay, so they played 3 games this year. Bergeron, 6 points in those 3 games. David Pastrnak has a goal in every single game. He's got 3 goals in 3 games against Florida this year. So, and right now, Boston has them playing on separate lines, which is just, like, an obnoxious amount of riches. I actually kind of love how that is working out. And so for me, I mean, Florida just straight up, they don't have the depth to be able to deal with the fact that Boston goes Bergeron and Marchand on one line, Pasternak on the other, and then, like, if they feel like it, Taylor Hall on the third line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, to me, that's a matchup I seriously look at because Bergeron and Pasternak are on the top power play unit. They're getting tons of shots. I mean, like, David Pasternak's averaging 5 shots a game versus Florida this year. Like, that's a lot.
You slam the over when it comes to offensive categories, basically, in this game, because it's going to be a slugfest. And look, the Florida Panthers, they gutted the depth that they would have had to combat this. You know, this is all self-inflicted. And what also is going to happen is the Florida Panthers, they are, I believe, the most penalized team in the league this year. They take the most penalties of any team, or they have taken the most penalties.
They're undisciplined.
And the Bruins happen to have a very good power play. If you're looking for potential, if you're looking for potential sparks to fuel an offensive fire, I mean, an undisciplined team giving the Boston Bruins, you know, like 3 or 4 power plays on that given night, that can be huge. So yeah, slam the over when it comes to that stuff.
A couple spots that I'm looking at is if Pasternak is 1.5 points, then I'd probably look at a power play point for him. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at him to get over 4.5 shots in this game. I'm looking at Matthew Tkachuk to get over 4.5 shots in this game because he's averaged 5 shots a game against Boston this year. He's always like he just shoots the puck all the time, like whether it's rapid fire at the net front on the power play, whatever the case may be. But you mentioned the power play opportunities that are going to come Boston's way. The fact that these are two teams that for whatever reason really like to score when they play each other, I'm taking like a Bergeron point, maybe a Pasternak power play point, and both Tkachuk and Pasternak to just like shoot the lights out. That's kind of what I'm looking at in this game.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to Colorado, the defending Stanley Cup champions. They are also fighting for their lives right now. They've had to deal with just an absurd amount of injuries. They're still dealing with this absurd amount of injuries, but they're making it work, and they're going to be playing the St. Louis Blues. Now, Colorado, they're coming off a loss to the Anaheim Ducks. Anaheim is one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst. So that's not great. But again, this will be a team that is looking to rebound real difficultly against a team like St. Louis, too, that's really struggling to keep its head above water.
Yeah, like I look at this and I go, okay, I actually saw a bit of the Colorado-Anaheim game on Thursday night, and Nathan MacKinnon was not very good at all. Like, it was an off night for a few guys on Thursday night, whether it's McDavid, Draisaitl, MacKinnon. It was kind of weird, like weird vibes for sure. I think it's important to point out that Nathan MacKinnon has points in 10 straight games against St. Louis, though. That is a problem if you're St. Louis. And like you said, St. Louis is trying to keep their head above water right now. Like, they're one of the teams that is, on any given day, they could sell or they could buy. I think they're leaning towards selling. But if you look at it, like, St. Louis is that team that's like win 3, lose 2, win 2, lose 3. And so it's kind of weird. And then you've got Colorado, who I think that game against Anaheim, given that they're in the danger zone, like they need to start winning games. That could have been a wake-up call. Like, would you be surprised if Colorado won by like 3 or 4 tonight?
No, not at all. Like,
I think I might mess around and do like a Boston Colorado moneyline parlay, just because I think Boston's gonna rebound against Florida. And like 100%, you have to think Colorado's going to rebound against St. Louis, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
You go into All-Star break losing to Anaheim and St. Louis?
It's not happening, especially because this is like, that's a divisional opponent. That's an opponent they have a lot of history with in the playoffs as well. They're not, I don't think they're going down. They're not going quietly into that good night. You know, they're going quiet.
Don't know, like, Valeri Nichushkin's impact, I think, has been super understated. Like, the Avalanche's record with him versus without him is extremely different. Like, they're below 500 without Nichushkin, and they are, well, I think they're playing almost 700 mm-hmm. hockey with him. So his impact is incredible. I believe he's day-to-day.
Yes, he's still dealing with that foot.
Yeah, so he's not expected to play as the playing of this. And honestly, like, even if he is going to play, first of all, it's one of your last games before the All-Star break and the bye week. Rest him. Maybe don't. Just chill and tell him to go hang out for 10 days. Give him that extra rest. And so I think that's something to look for. but I'd have to expect that Colorado is just going to be the better team. And Alex Georgiev, pretty good goaltending the last 10 games. Like, he's been pretty good.
Pretty good goaltending on the whole this season. Like, he's been a pleasant surprise. Look, I was able to watch, Nichushkin in person, you know, covering the cup final. Like, it was like, there's a reason they call him like the choo-choo train. It's not just because he's big and it's, you know, like it's not just because he's big and his name sounds like choo-choo. Like, he is an engine of that team. He does so many things well on both sides of the ice. And his presence in the lineup just gives them so much more depth. It just lengthens that roster so much that bringing him back is going to be a key. So if they're without him, obviously that's a huge loss. Take us through some of the, I guess, more sort of specific bets, prop bets here. At least on St. Louis's side.
First of all, Robert Thomas left the game on Thursday as well. I don't need to tell you guys, like, that's a problem. That's a huge problem for St. Louis. And whenever Robert Thomas isn't playing, Jordan Kyrou steps up in a big way. He's already been, even with Thomas in the lineup, he's been shooting the lights out lately. Like, just shot, 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 shot. Like, they're not all high quality, but my goodness, like, I was looking, he's averaging like 4 shots a game in his last 10. Like, that's a lot for Jordan Kyrou. And if he's without his running mate Robert Thomas in this one, I'd expect he is going to be a primary guy, especially with the Tarasenko injury. So to me, Jordan Kyrou over 2.5 shots, that seems like something that I would seriously be taking. I would even bet that up to probably 3 or 4 shots. He's somebody that I would look at and say he needs to be the catalyst here, given who St. Louis is missing from their lineup. And so he's the main guy for me. We're not sure what goaltender is starting because it has not been announced. Mm-hmm. Of yet, but I expect Colorado is going to be shooting and just like absolutely peppering the goaltender. So whatever the over is in saves, probably like 32, 33.5, I'm taking that because I think Colorado's probably putting up like 40, 42 shots in this game.
Yeah. It also, like, it doesn't really matter which goalie is playing for St. Louis because they're both not great. So
take the over on saves because, I mean, unless they give up 8 goals, you're going to have at least 32 saves.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Winnipeg and Philadelphia. You know, two teams at the other end of the spectrum. Although Philadelphia has, you know, the Flyers have had some interesting games lately. They've been in close games.
Yeah, Philly has played, I believe, 3 of its last 5 games, of their last 5 games have been 1-goal games, low scoring. And then the other one was like a 2-goal game. So, maybe there's an empty netter in there. Like, they've been in games, and Winnipeg has been not inspiring the last few games. They've got a couple wins in a row, then a couple losses in a row. They looked genuinely horrendous against Montreal. Then, like, against Buffalo last night, they were down until the last 3 minutes of the game. It was Buffalo ran their show for pretty much the entire game, and then they got a couple quick ones with like 3 minutes left. So for me, That's kind of concerning. You do wonder if anybody's hitting a wall here. Both teams, though, like, they're not playing high scoring games right now, and that's probably because they're not giving up a ton of shots. Like, you look Thursday night, I believe it was 3-2 in the Winnipeg game. It was, I want to say, 2-1 in Philly, Minnesota. Like, what's going on in Philly?
I do not know. It's been super weird. I mean, look, Philadelphia, we obviously know that their limitations, they're not doing great, but they are a team that can randomly pop off offensively. You know, they have weapons on that team, regardless of how thin their roster is.
And they got a goalie.
and they do have a goalie. They have 1 goalie. And so, you know, that's that can spell offensive fireworks in the right situation. We don't know if it's going to be Connor Hellebuyck in net for the Winnipeg Jets. I believe it likely will be, because I believe on Friday, Eric Comrie is going to start. So we'll have to see, but either way, if it's Connor Hellebuyck, obviously you might want to take the under in terms of what the actual score is going to be, considering it's Connor Hellebuyck versus, you know, a very depleted forward core. But if it's not, sorry, if it's David Riddick, my bad, out there, then absolutely hammer it. David Riddick, he's not necessarily Big Save Dave so anymore.
So, yeah, the one thing I'll say is both teams are averaging less than 30 shots in the last 10 games, like both for and against. So I actually might be looking at the under on saves here, especially if it's Connor Hellebuyck, like pretty much any Winnipeg goaltender. I think that might be a spot. It really just depends on what it is. If it's like 28 or 29, then I'd stay away from it. But if it's anywhere near 32 or 33, I'll probably take the under on that one. The one thing I do want to point out is Philly gives up a ton of shots from the outside. So under Torts, like they've actually done a relatively decent job of protecting the middle of the ice, which was a pretty big issue for them last year. We all can remember Kevin Hayes just like out to lunch while a guy pulled like 8 deeks on the goalie.
Yeah. That's one of the most absurd clips I've ever seen.
Oh man. Yeah. It was absolutely wild. So, I mean, they're giving up shots from wingers. Winnipeg relies a ton on shots from guys like Ehlers, Perfetti, and Kyle Connor. So those are guys I'd probably target there for the shot props, because I think kind of got that match made. I mean, it's not exactly difficult to walk around the Philly defense right now. So I think that with the speed that those three players have, you're going to have some shot opportunities, as well as the fact that all of those guys play on the power play. And Philadelphia is not the most disciplined team. So I think that there's a window of opportunity there. The one winger I would stay away from on Winnipeg is Blake Wheeler. Mm-hmm. He has less than 2 shots in his last 6 games and less than 3 shots in 9 of his last 10.
Yeah, it's been a rough stretch for Blake Wheeler. Right, sure.
But because Philly gives up a ton of shots to wingers, you don't really want to take the chance to take the under and then Wheeler decides he's going to pop off. So he is one guy I'd stay away from here. Whereas like Ehlers, Connor, Perfetti, like those are kind of the guys I would target there.
All right, Montreal and Ottawa. Again, 2 struggling teams, 2 injury plagued teams, 2 teams that are obviously trying to rebuild. One thought it was a lot farther in that rebuild, I think, than the other. But here we are. Montreal is losing Cole Caulfield. He'll be out for the rest of the season. Ottawa has no more Josh Norris. It's a bummer because this could have been a very nice sort of marquee matchup for these two teams. You know, obviously Atlantic Division, All-Canadian matchup, Hockey Night in Canada, let's do it. And yet health has kind of gotten in the way here. What can we take a look at with this game, Rachel?
Yeah, so this is kind of what's interesting is this is I think it's only one of 2 Saturdays this year that the Leafs are not playing tonight. Yeah,
extremely weird.
So this is the Canadian matchup. Mm-hmm. It's the one that's going to take precedence on Hockey Night in Canada. Ottawa is on a back-to-back with travel. They played in Toronto on Friday. And so that is like teams traditionally, if you're playing a back-to-back at home, there's a better kind of win-loss record, but teams who have to travel on the back end of a back-to-back, it traditionally doesn't go very well.
Even though it's not much in terms of travel.
It's a 27-minute flight.
Yeah, so like it's not. Might even take the train. You know, like it.
I don't think so.
They probably won't. I'm saying like they could if they wanted to.
They absolutely could. But I think in this case, Ottawa is the better team for me. Like they're deeper up front. They have the top 6 that now has Ridly Gregg in it. Ridly Gregg has been really impressive in his first couple games. Honestly, I've really liked him. I think he's fit in really well with DeBrincat and Giroux. So I think even though the loss of Norris is an issue, I think Ridly Gregg is a pretty good kind of guy for them. Montreal gives up way too many shots, though. Like, way too many, especially from the wings. Their defense is not all that mobile, depending on who's in the lineup. And when you have guys like Claude Giroux and Tim Stützle and Brady Tkachuk and Alex DeBrincat, like, you're probably getting a ton of shots that are coming off the rush. And so you have to target those guys. So for me, I'm looking at Alex DeBrincat. I'm looking at Brady Tkachuk, who is a menace on the power play as well. Mm-hmm. And Claude Giroux, because Ottawa seems to have gone to like this shooting the puck a ton lately. I don't know like what's up with that, but they're just shooting it from everywhere now.
It's wild to see. I mean, look, this is what I love about teams like Ottawa is that they're just trying stuff now, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're just trying to get some sort of rhythm so they can figure out, okay, like we got this and we can at least translate that into next season when hopefully we'll be better. And that could be, that could work really well in your favor if you're looking to put some money on this game.
Because
because for as much as Ottawa is depleted, as much as they are, like we said, they're fighting it when it comes to the standings, they have a lot of offensive weapons. They have Ridly Greig, like you said, who could potentially pop off, but they have Claude Giroux, Alex DeBrincat, Tim Stützle, guys like that. It's, Thomas Chabot. I was going to say Thomas Chabot. That's not a real person.
No.
So it's, they're a very fascinating team to watch.
Yeah. And like both teams are giving up a ton of scoring chances, but Sam Montembeault has been really good lately. Like,
franchise goalie?
Really good. So I don't know. Like, they're combined giving up an average of 7.3 goals. So like, that's still a lot of goals, but I'm not entirely certain that we're going to see that in this game. I'm not. So like, I would wager more to the shots and kind of pick from there, given the fact that Ottawa's shooting lots, Montreal's giving up lots. And there's also like, Montreal's taking a ton of penalties lately. And if you're just going to give Ottawa, who is clearly has this, I don't know, memo to shoot a ton, power plays, like, you're going to give up a ton of shots. So I would actually look for Jake Allen or Sam Montembeault, whoever is in net tonight, over on the saves for sure, because I think Ottawa is just going to come out and they're going to, especially if they get behind on a back-to-back, like, they're just going to be firing pucks at the net. And so to me, I think that's a good opportunity for whoever the goalie is. Now, if it is Jake Allen, I might actually take the over because he's coming off an injury and we kind of don't know where he is. And given that neither one of these teams is fantastic defensively, I think that could be an opportunity. So just watch to see what goalie is starting. But I'd focus on the shots for the Sens for sure.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be very interesting to see. All right, moving on to Chicago and Edmonton. Again, another example of a team that should be pretty good and a team that is very, very bad. I'm not sure if you saw the Chicago Blackhawks roster without Jonathan Toews they had to play with the other night.
Dickinson was a first line forward.
that's one of the most shocking. One of the most shocking, like, sort of line rush combination, whatever, that I've ever seen. It, like, holy smokes, this team has taken the tank to another level.
I was told by Gary Bettman that teams don't
tank. No, but teams don't tank. Teams don't tank.
I was told.
Rachel, why would Gary Bettman ever lie to us?
Well, and clearly he's right, because Chicago waxed Calgary. Like, yeah, they played them off the rink. And don't get me wrong, Jacob Markstrom was not very good.
That's more of an indictment on Calgary, I think. They're having a nightmare season.
Yeah, Calgary's in some trouble right now. But you get waxed by, like, more than 3 goals by the Chicago Blackhawks. What are you doing?
Relegation.
What are you doing? So,
relegation.
Yikes. So Chicago's coming off of beating Calgary. So they got to be feeling kind of half decent about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Edmonton, on the other hand, lost to, also not tanking, Columbus. And Edmonton was absolutely dreadful in that game. Like, I don't know if you watched that, but like, McDavid and Dreisaitl,
they didn't do anything.
Damn near invisible. Like, McDavid had 3 shots. Dreisaitl had 2 shots, which is uncharacteristic. And they don't usually have 2 bad games in a row.
Yeah, I have Leon Dreisaitl in fantasy. I took him 2nd overall this year.
Who went first?
Little man by the name of Connor McDavid.
Some dude.
Actually, no, I took him 3rd overall because it went McDavid, then Matthews. Someone selected Matthews.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting choice. But I like literally, you are right in that they never have 2 bad games in a row, because whenever Leon Draisaitl goes pointless in a game, which is very rare, by the way, like, you can almost pencil this guy in for at least an assist every night. But whenever they go point, you know, there's like a 2 or 3 point night or 4 point night coming the next night. That happens.
And guess how many points McDavid has against Chicago this year? He's averaging 3 a game.
And, you know, what is Chicago going to do to stop this? You know, like, it's, they have Peter,
especially without Jonathan Toews. If Jason Dickinson, trust me, I have worked with him, and don't get me wrong, very nice boy, If he is your shutdown center against Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, you have got a problem.
Yes.
A big one. So not only am I taking both McDavid and Draisaitl to get 2 points in this game, I'm also taking Edmonton -1.5 because I think this has the potential to be 6 or 7-1.
It's going to be, it might be like that Kraken game where it started off where it was like 5 goals on 6 shots and it was just.
Yeah. Like it might not be great for Chicago.
Yeah. Might be tough. All right, Pittsburgh and San Jose. Pittsburgh, they're like they said, they are clawing their way up and they're doing pretty well lately.
Yeah. Do we ever bet on Sidney Crosby on this spot or
bet against? Yeah.
Yeah. Do we ever bet against Sidney Crosby in this podcast?
No, we don't. I
not
like,
a thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just don't do it. It's a good life lesson. Just don't do it.
Do not. Bad idea. Like, both teams are giving up a ton of shots in their last, like, 10 games or so. I was kind of looking back. I like to look back at the last 3 weeks. That's something I think is, like, a big enough sample of, like, a trend of late. And I think the reason both teams are giving up a ton of shots is, first of all, San Jose is bad. But
this is news
Pittsburgh
to me.
Is kind of leaning into the fact that they're a really fast hockey team. And so for me, I look at it and both teams like to play with speed. I think it could be kind of that back and forth river hockey game. And so I'm looking at, like, we're probably seeing close to 70 shots in this game. I would have to think.
It's going to be nuts. Like that. The thing about Pittsburgh is, like, you weren't expecting them to be a fast team. They're old. Like,
yeah, but then you've got, like, Letang still skates well. Crosby and Malkin, we don't even need to have a discussion about, right? Gensel skates really well. Raquel skates really well. Zucker skates really well. Like, they've got pieces. Kasperi Kapanen,
we're not even sure if he's in the lineup or not.
Yeah, but he is one of the fastest skaters in the league. And so, like, you look at that, and fast teams draw a ton of penalties. Well, good fast teams draw a ton of penalties, and guess who's drawing a ton of penalties lately, Mike?
Who?
The Pittsburgh Penguins.
Wow.
And so I look at that and I go, oh boy, who are the trigger men on the Pittsburgh power play? That'd be Rickard Rakell and Jake Gensel.
What do you go like? Sorry?
Rickard Rakell or Jake Gensel?
No, you go, whoa boy.
Whoa boy.
Which is a good one. Also, one thing to note about Chicago and Edmonton real quick to bounce back there is that they are getting Evander Kane back for that game. He has missed the last two due to needing to
personal reasons in
court. But they are getting him back in the lineup. So that is another, that's a top six, you know, like 30 goal score. Basically you're adding into a lineup against, you know, a Blackhawks team that
they probably could have done without Evander Kane in this game. If there's one game.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, sorry. Didn't mean to do that. Back to Pittsburgh and San Jose. Dig us through some of the more individual bets here, Rachel, and that'll be great.
Yeah, so like I said, Rickard Rakell and Jake Gensel, on that power play, yep, I'll sign up for that. Mm-hmm. Both teams, for whatever reason, and maybe it's river hockey, they are giving up a ton of shots to centers, and that is probably because a lot of it's coming from the middle of the ice. We've got some pretty good centers in this game. Have you heard of the man called Evgeny Malkin?
I believe I've heard of the legend of Evgeny Malkin. Yes.
Okay, so I'd probably be taking him at 3+ shots. Sidney Crosby, we've covered. We don't bet against him, so he's taking 3+ shots. I'm also taking him to get a point, because why are you not? But then on the flip side, Logan Couture, Thomas Hertl, and Timo Meier are guys that I think, all good skaters, all like to play in the middle of the ice. Timo Meier's a volume shooter. I think that those are kind of the guys that are going to be shooting the puck there for San Jose, especially because Kevin LeBanc is not expected to be in the lineup. And the other thing that I think is important to note, we talked about Pittsburgh drawing a ton of penalties, but when they're on the PK, they're really bad. Like, Vancouver is obviously horrendous bad, but Pittsburgh the last 3 weeks, I believe, has been clicking at just above 60% on the PK. Which is
terrible.
Not fantastic. Anything below 75 is just horrendous. So they're struggling. And the Sharks have a dude named Erik Karlsson on their back end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm probably looking at him to get a point. And if there's too much juice on that line, probably a power play point. And he's a guy I'd look at over 2.5 shots because he is their guy on the power play. Him and Timo Meier are really the only guys shooting. But for me, I look at that and I say, okay, Pittsburgh's struggling on the power or on the penalty kill, and Erik Karlsson just has the knack for picking apart other teams' penalty kills. So that seems like a recipe for success for Erik Karlsson for me.
I think that's a great idea. Look, if your penalty kill like efficiency rating looks like my math mark in like grade 10, you're not doing great.
So what you're saying is you want your penalty killing to look like my math mark.
Yes, exactly. You don't want to look like the guy who had to take summer school. Exactly.
Nope, you don't. Great.
So you might want to rejig that. And then finally, the final game here is Buffalo and Minnesota. Buffalo's turned into one of the most fascinating and exciting teams to watch in the National Hockey League. I love everything about them. They're doing great. They have a great foundation. They are just becoming such an exciting team. And Minnesota is another team that is fighting for their lives. They are out. They I believe stepped outside the playoff picture this week. This is not a team that should be missing the playoffs. This will be a very, very interesting matchup.
Yeah, I think Buffalo has kind of like wriggled their way into the discussion about the playoffs. And holy moly, if they get Timo Meier at the deadline, like that is going to be a long-term issue for the Atlantic Division. Tage Thompson, I mean, you and I talk about this all the time. He might be my favorite hockey player that I haven't worked with to watch right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's just absolutely popped off. And I got him in the 9th round of my hockey pool. So that's fun.
He was on waivers in our league.
That is amazing. You know what the best part about the hockey pool is the draft happened like a week after everything went down in my career life. So like I was able to be back in the league. And I don't think a lot of people are appreciative of the fact that I have both Erik Karlsson and Tage Thompson.
I want to give a shout out to James Myrtle of The Athletic with arguably the best like transaction in fantasy hockey history, in which he picked up Tage Thompson on waivers and dropped Erik Sjallgren.
That's elite. It.
That's potentially the greatest transaction in fantasy hockey history. Anyway, Buffalo.
Let's talk about the game. Yeah. Yes. So, both teams are shooting a ton lately. Like you said, Minnesota's in a bit of trouble because they need to be good this year. They have $13 million, I believe, in dead cap.
14.5.
14. Yeah, so you have to be good this year. You don't have a choice. So get it together. And the one thing that is clicking, not only are both teams shooting the lights out, so like it probably a 70-shot game, so might want to look at the over and the over in saves. Minnesota's power play has been really good the last 10 games, like really hot. One of the hottest in the league. And so for me, I mean, combine the specialty teams. Buffalo's got a ton of skill. You could have some power play points here for guys like Matt Boldy, Kirill Kaprizov, and Matt Zuccarello. A lot of those guys have juice numbers on just getting a point. I think it's probably likely. If you could do a parlay of like Kirill Kaprizov and Tage Thompson to get a point, that's something I'm absolutely looking at. Tage Thompson has points in 6 straight games. I really like that. And they're also, I mean, I mentioned they're giving up a ton of shots. There's a lot of scoring happening in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, combined, they're giving up 7 goals against per game. They're also shooting a lot. I mean, this seems like a recipe for an over here. If you can get it at 6, 6.5, I wouldn't go anything above 7. To me, they both teams just have the offensive weapons, but are still kind of really struggling defensively. And Matt Boldy specifically, like there's a potential he's
on fire.
Yeah. Like, first of all, he's on fire, but he's going to get some favorable matchups here. So he is getting that opportunity and he's got points in his last 4 and he's over 2.5 shots in each of his last 5 games. Top power play unit. That's a guy I'm 100% targeting, not only for the points, but also for the shots on goal. I think that is a great spot for him. Yeah, like, have you seen Minnesota a ton this year? Like, what do you? I know you and I have both seen Buffalo a lot, mm-hmm. and like Dahlin, Thompson, like it. Just the list is Donny Granato. Like, well done. But like, what do you think of Minnesota outside of like Kaprizov?
Well, I like Boldy is the guy that I love. Like he, like, you know, and that's obviously. I mean, the guy signed a huge contract lately. Like he's a top. So it's not exactly. I'm not exactly picking a diamond in the rough here, but Like he's on fire. He's doing a ton of damage on the power play right now. Like he's really helping them. It's like, he is someone that I would hammer to keep this hot streak going. Like he is on a heater. I believe he had a 3-point night the other night. He factored on all three of Minnesota's goals in a 3-2 overtime victory. I can't remember who they were playing, but he had two goals and one assist. One of those goals came on the power play. He's doing a fantastic job. I love everything that he's doing. And he's someone that I would really hone in on. If I was to put money down on that. All right,
there's a couple other guys that I like lately. Alex Tuck is on the top line with Tage Thompson. He is also one of the fastest skaters in the league. And if he's not playing against Jarrett Spurgeon or Jonas Brodin, like, he's going to be getting around some guys. He's gone over 2.5 shots in 6 of 7 games. Given that both teams are taking a lot of shots and giving a lot of shots up, I really like this spot. And Victor Olofsson,
yeah,
Buffalo. Man, that guy was like on the trade block, and you thought that they were going to have to strap a pick because of his contract situation. He's got points in 7 of his last 9 games, and he's shooting a ton. Like, he's getting his power play opportunities as well. I would expect we'll see some power play fireworks in this game, just given how Minnesota's power play is performing and all the talent on Buffalo's power play. He's a guy. Over 2.5 shots, I'm absolutely sold on that one. So we got a couple guys here in this game where you get Kaprizov, you got Thompson, Boldy, Tuck, Olofsson. Like, there's a couple options. I mean, it's important, obviously, not to overbet and don't be willy-nilly parlaying everything, but there's definitely places where you can pick your spots here, and if you're judicious about it, there's definitely some opportunity in this game. I also think sneaky, it might be the best game of the night.
Very cool. All right, Rachel, we've reached the end of the show here, the natural end of the show, as we like to call it. It's going to be a fantastic slate of Saturday games here to sort of bring us into the All-Star break. Going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully, we were able to tee up some of that for you to have a good weekend. Always love doing this with you, Rachel. We will be back, I believe, on Monday.
All right. We'll see everybody then.